What's good, everybody? We made it. 2020. Thank you for leaving us behind. 2021. It's man to man. We're here, Hoop. It's Andy and Hoop and I. We're on man to man. We bring a unique vibe to the traditional sports talk show. What up, Hoop Starts? Your co-host Andy Elliott.
And like you said, alongside your co-host Liam, the Hoop Star Nash, as they say. It's been great. Yeah, 2020 was good. Yeah or no?
It was all right. I mean, a lot of people look at 2020 and be like, you know, a lot of downs, but it did teach us a whole lot. So thank you in that aspect. But we're going to just keep that rolling. You're on Dash Radio. You're tuning into the boys, nothing but net channel. I know things basketball. My God, soldier. Thanks for being with us today. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that, though, Hoop. I want to just touch up on that a little bit. How was your Happy New Year's? Or I guess it's a Happy New Year. How was it? What'd you do? I mean, a couple too many Teddy Bridgewaters. What's going on?
I mean, I had a nice little, you know, relaxing, I guess you would say, New Year's. You know, hung out with some people, came back home, hung out with the family. And then, you know, it was just good to just kind of relax a little bit, not too hype, nothing too crazy. Definitely glad that 2020 is over. Looking for, you know, a lot, you know, more in 2021. Hopefully we can start to, you know, get back to where we were.
What was the highlight of 2020 for you?
The highlight of 2020 for me?
Because we keep it positive vibes only here.
Yeah. My highlight, I would say, was probably just, you know, just realizing there's a lot of things to come from the big picture of negativity, just like what this podcast and what we've been able to do. What I would say was just, you know, we said we can go out, but we started something and we kind of grinded. And I think it was right. The biggest thing for me was just the grind of the podcast. And then, you know, realizing the people that mean the most to you, honestly, is what it comes down to, is your family and, you know, the people that when things are going down, they stick by your side. So
right.
I don't know about you, man, but that's kind of how it was for me. You realize a lot of things when you not being able to go out and see people on a regular basis.
Right. It definitely shows who also is in your corner and who's showing true colors and who's kind of keeping up with you. But we hope that everybody had a happy new year. Like Liam was saying, it was a big year for us to, you know, doing this podcast. I ran out of beer money in Chicago to nonstop grinding and just to everybody that supported us. Seriously. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. My new year, it was better than last year, Hoop. I don't know if you remember what happened last year, but to say the least, your boy did not get arrested. So I will say that I didn't get arrested last year. I was very close to it, which is no, you know, no fun and games at all. But this year it was kind of the same thing. There's like a Jane Doe and another Jane Doe.
So you're talking about ladies. Is that what you're talking about? Jane Doe's? Or is that just like,
yeah, I don't know, man. So, all right. So like I got out of a relationship this year and it's more of just like, okay, should I just man whore around? I mean, that's what you do when you get out of a relationship saying, damn, I don't got what I got every day. Let me get some stink real quick. So, it's Jane Doe. I got invited to this party like 2 weeks ago. I've been hanging out with this girl and she's like, yeah, like you're coming to our Airbnb. One, it was like super near like downtown where the explosion was. And I was just like, all right, I'm not trying to do that. So they're like, hold up. We just changed the whole location. You're coming, sleeping arrangements and everything. And so I pretty much just banked my whole night on that. I canceled on other people to pretty much do this as my primary, like focus on New Year's Eve. That's all right. She got too drunk. It was just a little inconsiderate because I got the address from somebody that was there and it wasn't her. And just, you know, it's just like, for me personally, I think that I am going to be using my time in 2021, just focusing on myself. You know, it's for me, it's going to be all about self-improvement and, pretty much just not put my energy into, or engage in more relationships or put that kind of energy into dating. Cause it's all, you know, dating is just weird. You talk to a girl, then they get pissed at you and then they just are really cruel to you. Nice guys finish last. Why does it happen? I don't know.
It so, always happens like that, man. That's why it's a saying. I believe that true to be. Nice guys always finish last. Even when you're trying to be nice to a girl, they got an agenda themselves, and you just out there trying to be nice, man. So,
ladies, why is it that nice guys always finish last when we are very, very kind to you? I don't know. I think a lot of people just don't think about what other people have gone through and stuff like that. So, you know. I apologize. Whoever's listening that's older than us, our generation is fucked up with the whole like Instagram and dating apps and swiping left and right. It's just all fucked up. And we apologize. We don't like to work either. Fortunately for Liam and I, we come under single mothers who are entrepreneurs. So we get the grind. But there are a lot of us out here that just don't really give a shit about anybody. That's cool though. Man to man, we keep positive vibes going. Right. So... I want to shout out
one thing before, you know, we dive into something next, but I just want to say I appreciate you for 2020, everything that you do. You're good. I mean, you're just a good guy. And if somebody else doesn't see that, that's their loss. You know what I mean? So not to get too sentimental on you, but I just wanted to say for, you know, I appreciate you, man. I really do.
Well, I just try to be nice out here, and there are some people that just, you know, aren't kind back or don't reciprocate that. But anyways, it's man to man, and then so thank you for listening to our little love talk for 5 minutes. Liam, we can, if you want to just go at it real quick, maybe we can just date and that, I don't know, I'll go back to Boys Town in Chicago or something. But anyways, we're going to talk some basketball. It's man to man, you're hanging out with some fools, you know, we're shooting the shit on this one. This one is called, what do we call this one? New Year Nitty Gritty. No cap, my soldier. But before we get into anything, we did have a giveaway, and our giveaway was just pretty much follow us on Twitch. We're trying to get affiliate. We need 50 followers to get affiliate, AKA make a little cash though. And we're about 20 away, but the giveaway is over. The deadline is over. And now we just kind of have a wheel of fortune here with a bunch of names. So the winner of this giveaway will get to choose any item in our online shop. So super cool. We got new stuff in our shop. Liam, you ready?
All right. Well, let's do it then, man. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. So wheel of fortune right here in 3, 2, 1, drum roll. It's spinning. It's spinning. It's spinning. It's spinning. Big Janie. I honestly have no idea who that is, but we'll throw it on our social. You get a giveaway. Cool deal. Big Janie, thanks so much for the support. Two bits. Thank you. All right. So, all right. Giveaway is over. Now we got some basketball hoop. What we got on the agenda today?
Well, we got a lot of things. I do want to say that the Titans, shout out to the Titans before we get deep into that.
Shout out Titans, baby. AJ Brown time out here. Tanny time, baby.
Yeah, big shout out to the Titans winning the AFC championship or AFC South for the first time in, I don't know, what is it?
2008,
years?
I think.
Yeah, 12 years now. So
let's go, baby.
Tighten up. You got the Titans uniform on. I do want to we gotta shout out our Titans, you know. But
let's see the Ravens again, man. We'll see if we can get them.
Yeah, hopefully I don't think they're as good as, you know, they have been in the
I don't think so
past couple of years, but we'll see. Let's get into the basketball talk though real quick. I guess we'll just start off with something I would call the best of the best and then the worst of the worst. We've had a great season so far, but there has been some, I guess, surprises. I don't know if they're surprises to you. For me, I guess starting with the Suns, they are surprising, starting 5-1. We saw them, you know, finish the bubble 8-0, didn't get into the playoffs, add a veteran and Chris Paul. Right. And they got they had the best record in the NBA for a night, starting 5-1. I guess what's your thoughts surrounding – are they actually are they going to, you know, make an actual deep push in the playoffs this year? Or do you think the Suns are just, you know, clicking now that they can put all these pieces together and then end up, I don't know, maybe we'll see them like the Nuggets, maybe make a run, but not really turn heads, I guess, because I don't think the Nuggets really turned heads What are your thoughts about the Suns?
Yeah, I'd say just for the Suns, I mean, obviously they're 5-1 right now, and there's a lot of optimism, and that's just running high in their corner across Suns Nation. The question is it sustainable? Is the team going to keep proving? Should you be excited? All three yeses. For me, yeah, it's just Chris Paul. He just brings that sort of energy, that veteran status to a team. Like you were saying with D8 and D-Book, they just mesh well together. It is a newer team. We've talked about teams that are off to a good start right now who have already kind of been together. We look at the Pacers at the second spot in the East right now. Those teams usually tend to do better just because they're more compact and they've been together for a while. But Chris Paul is just a guy, like I was saying, who's a first round, huge future Hall of Famer, comes in, brings this type of energy. I will say for DeAndre Ayton, I would like DeAndre Ayton to start shooting more threes. I think Ayton, is a young guy. He's definitely itching in the right direction, but those mid-range jumpers shot last year. I mean, he's a good shooter, just step behind the line. No one's asking him to play like Myers Leonard, but if he's going to spend as many possessions as he does doing things besides dunking the ball, I think maximizing his game would kind of, stay out there in the mid range, kind of get more moves to your game.
Right. I like that. I do think he needs to, just like any young player, they do have to develop certain types of, not just one dimensional type of player, don't just be a back down type of player. And right. I mean, especially if you're not like a Dwight Howard or a fucking Shaquille O'Neal, you can't just back down every time. He does, like you said, shoot some jump shots. Let's extend the range a little bit, open it up to the three-point line. But a big thing I want to say about the Suns is adding Crowder, and then everybody sleeps on Cameron Payne. Cameron Payne's the backup point guard for Chris Paul, comes in. And he gives buckets to anybody. He can shoot the ball. And the other reason I'm going to bring him up is because I played this guy in high school. He's from Memphis, Tennessee, and he's a good player. But he's also just one of those types of players that is great in that backup role, can come off the bench, give you points. Anybody that comes off the bench has to, impact the game somehow. And he can shoot the ball. He can dish it. He can get to the lane. He's kind of just long and lengthy type of guy. He's also left-handed, gives him a lot of opportunity to kind of, distract, or I don't know what you call it. Distract is my best word for it. The defenders, just because he's left-handed. So I like the Suns. The Suns are good. I look forward to seeing what they can do for the rest of the season, but good for them to keep the ball rolling.
I think a big theme that we talked about last year, especially when the playoffs picked back up, was the word momentum. And so those first eight games, they won all straight eight, right? So it's just, they're building that momentum, even though they didn't make it to the playoffs, they're building that momentum and continuing that obviously here at the beginning of the season. Right. So, and the thing is, they're not getting carried away about it either. It's not like the Suns are still like some super, super hot team. It's only six, first weekend. But at the same time, you just got to keep that composure. And Chris Paul, like I was saying, even with Cameron Payne, that's why you highlighted him, because he's under a guy like Chris Paul. It's just a guy who can, like I was saying, just bring that veteran status and that sort of energy and composure to that team, because they've been there before.
Right. I agree. Let's talk about another team that's hot right now on the other side in the Western Conference, kind of flying under the radar a little bit, in the 76ers. 76ers also, as of Sunday night, have a record of 5-1. We've seen the 76ers kind of struggle to get over that hump. They're starting off hot. They add a couple of pieces in Danny Green and Dwight Howard. Are they the real deal? Do you think they're the real deal this year? Are they going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals like they say they're going to every year, or have the potential to every year?
Yeah, I think it's a new season, obviously, of Philadelphia 76ers basketball, but new guy, new face, right? Or new face in new places. Doc Rivers, we kind of mentioned how he didn't, take a step back from, what kind of coach he just ultimately is. Simmons is obviously doing his thing. He's recorded already a couple triple doubles in the first week. But, you know, it's just looking good, man. And like I said, it's the start of the season. You know, there's a lot of games to be played. It's a long season. I think teams are just trying to stack up wins right now and pile them up while they can. Because really the first part of the season is almost the most crucial. You want to give yourself a cushion. The 76ers are doing a great job about it. Joel is going to work. Doc Rivers looks good. Simmons is looking good. I think they got away from the whole Harden drama. And, you know, just got to keep it going. They look good from the, you know, free throw line. They've been looking good. I think they're one of the highest percentage teams just at the free throw line at the charity stripe. And just it's all about bench points, too. Bench points, they've excelled well at it. And like you were saying, Danny Green is just another guy who's just been there, done that. So, you know, doesn't he's just a guy who doesn't listen to that outside noise and you know, plays basketball. So they're looking good right now, but they ain't better than the Pacers, but they look good. Right. Actually, they are better than the Pacers. They're first, aren't they? No, it's the Cavs. Are they first?
Yeah, 76ers are first. Pacers.
They're first. Pacers are second, excuse me.
Yeah, Pacers, Cavs are kind of tied right there right as of right now. But there's been a lot of questions in the offseason about surrounding 76ers. I just want to get your take on it now of what you kind of mentioned was the Joel and Simmons kind of meshing. Do you think this will actually work this year? Because there's a lot of questions being like, it hasn't worked in the past. We need to get rid of one player, either Simmons or Embiid. Do you think this is a year? Are we going to see the year that they actually make it? Are we going to make this work, or are we going to see it fall apart again? Because for me, I'll say it now, I think it can work. I've never been a doubter about the two working. The biggest thing that I see is you see somebody like Danny Green that gives, you know, release some pressure on the offensive end for like a Ben Simmons. So he doesn't have to be, you know, always into the mix. He can kick it out to a shooter. And then another addition, like I mentioned earlier, was Dwight Howard. I think he gives a very good just depth in the big position that Joel can go out of the game and he can, you know, kind of back up some of the big presence when Joel does go out of the game. So,
yeah, I think for me, Joel is just off to an incredible start. And for the Sixers, I think Doc Rivers and the Sixers pride themselves more on defense. Embiid and Ben Simmons, you're asking me that. I mean, they make a fantastic, phenomenal dynamic duo on defense, you know, and, right. You know, a lot of people talk
about that's the question is offensively, what are we going to see? Cause I think I think you nailed it. That defensively they're good. It's what they produce offensively with the Ben Simmons. That's not really.
Well, I mean, you got a guy like Embiid, who's just this guy who has a towering size to him. And he's one of these guys who I was saying Ayton needs to be like. Embiid's already there. He's got multiple moves to his step. You know, he's a dominant player. He's a 6'10" dominant player, not only in the paint, but he can, you know, do a crossover, do a step back on you. And plus, they're running a bunch of pick and rolls and, you know, Embiid's or Simmons just trying to get the ball out of his hands, get a pick and roll. Danny Green in the quarter, they just have guys who complement those two guys as well with Tobias over there. And it's just, yeah, I mean, that's the big question. But at the same time, if you have guys like that who are big guys in the league right there, I think the narrative is kind of changing with the big centers and the big guys in the league. You got to have that to your game. There's no question about it. And if you do have that to your game, then honestly, I'm not too worried about what you can produce on offense. And like we were saying, their defense they're insane on defense. So even if they can't get anything going on offense, I think their defense will make up for it.
Right. I agree. I think you nailed it. Again, I hate to agree with you all the time, but you're right. Defensively, they're great, you know?
Yeah.
So I like it a lot. Let's talk about the worst of the worst. We talked about the best of the best. Let's talk about the worst of the worst. The Raptors. The Raptors,
yeah.
They look bad. I just hate to say it because I think we both predicted them at least in the top four, and I think both of us predicted them in the top six. My biggest question is, are the Raptors even going to make the playoffs? I don't even understand how – I just don't understand how they got off to such a bad start. The biggest question for me is Kyle Lowry. He, you know, just doesn't look the same. And then Pascal Siakam, he's been hot and – now it's just like, you know, we thought we got the expectations of you doing so much And then we see, you know, year to year that you improve, but now your expectations are so high. We kind of see that he's not living up to those expectations. I guess the question here is to you, are the Raptors going to make the playoffs?
You know, that's a tough question to say right now. Obviously, you know, it's like I was saying, it's only been 5 to 6 games. Their 1-5 record or 1-4 record or whatever it is. They've blown double digit leads in all of their losses. It just kind of feels like you were talking about, the sky is pretty much just falling to the Toronto Raptors right now. Ananobi's, you know, the guy who's supposed to be stepping up. You talk about Pascal Siakam and, you know, 4 games that he's played, he's been averaging 16.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, about 4 assists per game on 39% shooting from the field. But that's pretty much replicates all of his numbers that he played in the playoffs last season in 11 games. He kind of averaged those same numbers. For a guy who has a big, big contract like that on a 4-year, $136 million deal in full effect, I think that, you know, you got to produce more. Pascal Siakam's kind of a name that we haven't really heard of in a while, you know, until back into when they, you know, won with Kawhi a couple years back. But yeah, they're just super inconsistent on offense and defense. That, you know, the Raptors have this reputation of usually being a good defensive team. And now they're a poor defensive team and a poor offensive team. They can't find shooting in Lowry. Same with the contracting, Van Fleet. I mean, you're putting up numbers, but you got to put up better numbers if you're just getting paid that much. So to answer your question, it's the start of the year, but they're just super, super inconsistent. And I feel like, you know, like I was saying, this whole first half is the most crucial part of the NBA regular season. So it's poor offensive balance. It's poor offensive defense. And there's just not enough production going on.
Right. I think you, again, I'm glad you brought up the bills, the money.
Yeah.
Signing Siakam extension, signing back Van Fleet. Do you think those guys kind of got relaxed a little bit and said, hey, I got the money, I don't have to, you know, prove myself? Because I feel like that's kind of what we're seeing, is Siakam kind of has these big shoes to fill to be the guy in Toronto. Van Fleet, kind of the same, you know.
Yeah,
see, got my bag, it's over with, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. Just because it's there's just a higher level of expectation. The level of expectation is obviously raised when you have guys like that who get paid a grossly disturbing amount of money. And, you know, even with a guy like OG Anunoby, it's just guys who, like this year, right before this year started, he signed a 4-year extension worth $72 million. I don't know if you ask me, it's a lot of money. And guys like that, you know, Anunoby is more known for his defensive play. And, you know, he's been as advertised, I guess, but, you know, he consistently, you know, or I guess he's more inconsistent on the offensive floor with all those other guys. So to answer your question, yes, it is a certain level of raised expectations that comes with those big kind of contracts.
Right. Let's talk about another team real quick, and then we'll get kind of moving here in this episode. Let's talk about the Nuggets real quick. They are also, I guess, below expectations, at least from coming off of last year, making that deep run and upsetting, you know, the Clippers to kind of make it to the Western Conference Finals last year. But Nuggets are the worst team in the fucking Western Conference.
Snorted everywhere in the microphone.
Not to shit on the Nuggets, but I guess the real thing is that was last year a kind of a fluke? Are we going to see the Nuggets be that team again to kind of really turn heads? I don't think they really turned heads last year. If they do it again this year, we'll see, like, hey, these guys are the real deal. I guess the real thing is, what is the, if you're part of the Nuggets locker room, what is being said in terms of, like, turning this thing around? Are they going to bounce back, really? Or are the Nuggets just kind of that team to say, hey, maybe this isn't our year? We made a deep run last year. Jamal Murray made a name for himself. Obviously, Jokic, the big Joker, does his thing night in and night out. But what are your real thoughts about the Nuggets? Are we gonna see a bounce back for them?
I just think a hot take. They're not playing Bobo enough. That was the guy that was getting you production. But they're not doing that this year. I don't know. I mean, last year, obviously, you know, they put in a lot of effort. Short off season for them as well. I get it, but at the same time, there's no excuse. The Lakers are still balling. I think they're fourth or fifth in the West. think they just had a, they've had a sort of a rough schedule. I mean, they played the Suns. They lost to the Suns by three, lost to a couple other good teams, lost to the Clippers. I think earlier in the week, you know, by 10 or 11 points. So yeah, this is Jamal guy. He's just got to get it going, man. Him and Jokic. Jokic has already recorded a couple double doubles. I think he's got one triple double in the books already. But yeah, just I don't know. I don't really know what the problem is over there at the Nuggets. You know, they got pretty much same faces in the same places. So like I was saying with that, you should be more of a compact team, more of a full team, more of a get together. Let's gather around. And if you're not having good chemistry to start out, then something may need to change in the locker room, whether it's Jamal Murray kind of getting guys on a text message saying, hey, we're coming out and we're going to win this game. You know, there's no other option to do it. So it's got to be a guy like that who's kind of just have a, you know, just has to have a dog in him. I don't know if he's getting, if you know, Murray's losing a lot of testosterone this first week from you know who, but just got to figure it out, man. You got to get a guy who needs to have that certain dog in him. And I just haven't seen it on the floor at least.
Right. I think another big name that I want to mention is Porter Jr. That's his name, right? Porter Jr.
Yeah.
Michael Porter Jr. He has to step up. I think this was his year to kind of fill those expectations that we kind of saw a little bit from last year and in the bubble. He hasn't been doing as like great, and I think they're lacking. I'm glad you brought up Bol Bol. I think he needs to develop a lot more to get more minutes, but at the same time, he is a solid player. And we saw it in the bubble as well last year. But I hate to fucking agree with you again. But
well, I was just going to – I mean, it's not like they're terrible. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of people are just like, you know, it's just they've gotten off to a bad start. Like Murray was saying, Jamal Murray, they're only five games in. They're not playing bad. It's just little details they need to tighten up.
Right.
But it is it's a big inconsistency, and it just keeps persisting on. And you know the Nuggets have yet to play a consistent 48-minute game.
Right, and they've played close games. I mean, they played the Rockets pretty close all the way up to the end. I mean, they've made the attempt to get to the end game. Because my biggest thing about the NBA is throughout the whole entire game, it's kind of just back and forth, and in fourth quarter, it's all about situational. Where's your team at? Are you down 10? Are you down 15? And once the fourth quarter starts, people, the players and the teams practice, you know, down 8, down 10 going into the last 10 minutes of a game. It's all situational. And the Nuggets have been there pretty much in every game. They just haven't closed out. So I kind of agree with you on that one. But let's move on. So we can get into the rest of this. Next big hot take from me, I'll say it off the bat. I think the Warriors, they need to tank. They got to tank again this year. A lot of people, I don't know if they like this take. I've obviously, you know, think Steph being back, he's not going to. But if I'm Steph Curry and the Warriors, I'm tanking again because Curry's not off to the greatest of starts. He's had a couple games that he shot, you know, 2 for 10, 4 for 10, 4 for 12 from 3-point line. Kind of just looks a little lost out there without his sidekick and Klay Thompson. Obviously, there's rumors about Draymond Green, as much as they are going to be true or not, about a possible trade. And I really don't think they can really do anything in the playoffs without Thompson. I think this could be another year that they kind of, you know, slow down the offensive breaks, get Wiseman some experience, and just kind of tank. What are your thoughts on that? Are you agreeing with that one or not?
I still have the hot take with the top five. And I mean, let's face it. Yeah, the Golden State Warriors stink, and you know, their entire season may seem like it's over in five games. It's not. And it's obviously hard to look at the first week and just be like, okay, damn, the Golden State Warriors are not going to be a playoff team again. Will they make the postseason? A lot of people were saying probably not, but I don't know. Their record is 2-5 right now. It's the first indication that things, you know, aren't going so horribly as everyone seems. Yes, they're out with Klay Thompson, but at the same time, you know, you still got Steph Curry and a you know, multiple time MVP player. The whole thing with Draymond, I don't think that's happening. I haven't really heard that. but and then James Wiseman is obviously getting better. I think his minute production will increase, you know, by the week, just because they need more production from them down low. But you know, I just don't think it's over for these guys yet. I will say there is a major concern. I mean, the people that they've lost to are, you know, superior opponents to them. But I guess their major concern is that, you know, they've lost those games by an average of almost 30 points. So there's not really that, there's not much that I can really say to defend that. Although I'm just going to say I have the hot take too. And so you can't take away a hot take, but still at the same time, they have plenty of games left to play. Will they go through this entire season so poorly like they're playing right now? Who knows? I just think, yeah, it's all up in the air right now. I just don't think they should tank though in the first week.
That's fair. I'm gonna read you a live stat right now, and you're gonna tell me this is fake or foolish if I would tell you this. Okay.
All right, fair.
All right. So the Golden State Warriors play the Blazers tonight on Sunday night. Let's say, fake or foolish, Curry scores over 50 points.
That was in tonight's game?
I'm just asking you, if I said Curry scores over 50 points, fake or foolish, in tonight's game against the Blazers, what would your initial thoughts be?
I guess those are two like almost of the same, fake or foolish,
Like, is that true or is that
real fake? Or fake?
Yeah. Real or fake.
Yeah, that's real. I'd say that's real.
What if I said he scored 60 points or more?
That's pushing it. That's probably fake.
What if I say he scored 62 points, on 18 of 31 of shooting? You think that's real?
I mean, that sounds more real just because you said it like that.
and he knocked down eight three-pointers.
Is that what he did? Yeah. Did he do that just now?
Golden State Warriors beat the Portland Trail Blazers 137 to 122. Curry goes off for 62, the most points since 1974 for Golden State Warriors.
Wow. Yeah. So that's pretty much what they need to do. Yeah.
So Curry just has to go out there and cook every night for 50 plus and they'll be good, right?
That is insane. Yeah. I mean, fine. I mean, he doesn't have to do that every single night unless they want to lose. But my whole thing with the Warriors, man, is that's Draymond Green is one of the best defensive players in the league. And although he's may not look like it last year, he still has that status to him. So, excuse me, I'm drinking like rosé, like babe over here with the bubbles. I don't know if you can see that. But anyways, I don't think the shooting slump will last. I think Oubre and Andrew Wiggins will, you know, figure it out. Obviously, they've gotten rough starts coming off the bench or coming off the jump. But, you know, Draymond's coming back. I think the shooting will get better and the schedule gets easier. I mean, like I was saying, they lost to all superior teams this first week. So I'm not going to dog them for losing those games. Only thing I will dog them for is just losing those games by an average of 30 points. If Steph's got to go out for 60, then let him go out for 60. But I don't think that they need a tank, and I don't think they're as bad as a team as everyone's making them out to be.
I agree. All right, let's move into the next portion. Obviously, me and you are going head-to-head every week on our picks of who's going to win each game. I think we are tied as of tonight. But, yeah, we have a whole slate of games every week and every day. How are you feeling about these games? We see, I guess, the standings just conference by conference. 76ers are on top. That's probably a hot team to pick on and, you know, pick for. Obviously, our Pacers are up on there. I guess the two surprising teams that you might have to take a look at every night if you're, you know, a gambling person or want, you know, the bets to go your right way or join our, you know, social media poll, Cavaliers and Magic. Yeah. Two teams that nobody really expected this year to start off as hot as they have. What are you thinking about your pick so far this year? Are you as confident? Well,
I will say that we're tied in the win column, but I have one less loss than you.
I don't know how that happens if we bet on every same game. How am I?
I don't know how that happened either.
It's because you're doing it and you just said fuck me and said, hey, I'm gonna take a
game. Is that what happened?
I think it is. If we both bet on the exact same games, where the fuck my point at? You just took it away.
Oh, man. I think I've been up just like trying to figure all this stuff out. Like the numbers, man, like it's like 40 and 27, 40 and 28, 40, 42 or 41 and 28. Yeah, I actually just now noticed that, my guy. My fault about that.
I mean, I'll take the less loss. I mean, it's fine. I'll give you the win. I'll go down two games if that's how it is. That's fine.
No, it's fine. I started off 5-0, and we had the public record too. All right, we'll just call it even. I'll change that. I'm 40-30. You're 40-30, and then the public record is 35-19. They didn't vote on the Christmas Day games, but yeah, like you were saying, the Magic and the Cavs are absolutely cooking right now. I will say, just on yesterday's games, on Saturday night's games. You know, Rockets got the double of the Kings. We both bet Pacers to beat the Knicks. Pacers fell short about 4 points. Magic actually lost to OKC last night. And then, yeah, like you were saying, I mean, the Hawks have been cooking too. Hawks is like one of the teams you've been talking about. You didn't mention them, but another team to definitely look out for. They lost to the Cavs last night. And so just another team to look out for if you're, you know, trying to place some money on some bets. but if you want to make some real money on bets, bet Tennessee Titan football.
Let's switch over to the West real quick. Talk about the West. We kind of mentioned obviously the Suns, our team to look out for. Pelicans are at the top. I think that might be a surprise for some people. They're at the top of the list in terms of record wise, and then a sneaky pick that I don't know if a lot of people have their eye on are the Utah Jazz. They're up there as well. Same with the Blazers. But, yeah, I think obviously it's early, but stay tuned in for, you know, our daily picks to, you know, kind of just, you know, kind of be a part of our community a little bit and see how your record kind of combines to what our record looks like.
J32, appreciate it. Appreciate the two bits, my guy.
Yeah, of course. You always on that shit, damn. let's go into man-to-man worthy real quick get into some content, some funny stuff, some lighter stuff, kind of shoot the shit actually. I guess,
yeah, let's go. What do we got?
Yeah, that's a great phone that you got right in front of your face. That's
sorry funny. About that, just checking the scores, baby. Checking the scores.
Okay. Let's start out with Marvin Bagley. He said he wants out of Sacramento. Is this worthy or we can be moving here?
I think his dad said that.
Yeah. It was a quote from the Bagley family that, you know, he's kind of upset about.
Wah, wah, wah.
Keeping it moving then, huh?
Keep that shit moving, my soldier.
What about George Hill? Long Pacer fan. Definitely gonna ride the back of our own of George Hill. He said he possibly, you know, could get a trade to the Nets because of Dinwiddie's injury. What are your thoughts about this? Are we keeping it moving here, or are we worthy?
I've heard a little bit about this. It's worthy, you know. We're like you're saying, we're obviously big George Hill guys. I guess, you know, tough blow for the Nets. Obviously, Dinwiddie, a very crucial player in that lineup. But you know, other guys are just gonna have to step up. LeVert, other guys. But you know, I was thinking maybe even Jamal Crawford. I mean, Jamal Crawford was there last year. I think he got hurt in the playoffs too. But Jamal Crawford, maybe Isaiah Thomas, two guys that are on free agency. George Hill. They want to add him. I think George Hill he's over in OKC right now alongside Al Horford, but an SGA, and it's a solid squad. You know, it's kind of on that veteran status with that team. It's just kind of more acting like a Chris Paul on that team. The Nets can't get everything that they want. So who knows, unless they pay him money or like they take up his contract or something like that. But yeah, it's just, you got to keep, I mean, these guys' names are going to be thrown out until trade talk is over.
Right. I agree. I think George Hill could be obviously a crucial part for the Nets. Bring that veteran leadership minus Dinwiddie because he's, you know, down with injury. But OKC, they're going to get a handful regardless for a trade or something like that. Yeah. They're just, you know, they trying to pile up the picks left and right. We'll see what happens there. I think obviously he'll, you know, help either team one way or another, regardless of what happens. Let's go on to the next one. We got Carmelo Anthony, you know, passes all-time great Tim Duncan for the 14th all-time on the scoring list. Are we worthy here, or are we gonna keep him?
Yeah, I'd say it's worthy, man. We love Melo, love talking about Melo. This guy's literally made a living of one thing and one thing only. It's putting the basketball in the hoop. You know, no matter how divisive a player he has been in almost every aspect, every other aspect, he's still just an amazing all-out shooter. But yeah, no, he passed Timmy D. I think, what is it? 26,498. Tim Duncan, you know, for 14th on the league's all-time scoring list. Super shout out to Melo. Do your thing, bro. You know, it seems like you found a home in Portland. And I think he hit a three or something. The play came late in the fourth quarter of a blowout victory over the, like we were just talking about, the Golden State Warriors. So yeah, he hit a corner three. It was cool to see, just cool to see guys pass milestones like that. And you know, you just try to, you don't really focus on it, but when you hit something like that, it feels good. So shout out to Melo. Keep putting basketball through the hoops, brother. And you're on a solid squad, so keep it up.
Yeah, I agree. I think you asked me this though. Is Carmelo, is he the real deal, you think, or not?
Yeah, I think he is. He's you know,
he's a solid piece, you know.
Yeah.
He's not like old Melo, but he's definitely a solid piece. I agree.
I think he is. He fits well, he meshes well, he compliments the other two guys in the backcourt, and he does pretty much what Carmelo does. He just chills in the corner and you know, you get the open look. Guy closes out short on you. He's got the game where he can do a 1-2 step in front and pop the mid-range.
All right. Let's go on to the next one. Jordan Clarkson. Kind of an odd situation. I was watching this one live. Pushes the referee, kind of looks like it was unintentional, at least from my eyes. Kind of a little unintentional push. Didn't realize it was the referee. The referee kind of got in his way. He got teed up real quick. And then later the next day, gets fined $25,000. What are your thoughts about this? Are we worthy here? Are we keeping it moving?
Yeah, it's worthy. I mean, it looked odd to me too. It really just looked like Jordan Clarkson got a steal or something off an inbound, a full court inbound play. And, you know, he was trying to, I guess he didn't have full possession of the ball and it was going over to the corner. And, you know, he clearly could have gotten possession of it. I think the ref was just kind of in the middle of the court over there. And so, I don't know. He just kind of like pushed him off. He knew what he was doing, man. They asked him about the 25 fine, and he said, you know, he was feeling 25K lighter. So I guess it's all fun when you have grossly disturbing amount of money. But yeah, I don't know. They fined his ass. He pushed the legendary Carl Lane against when they were playing the Suns, and I think the incident happened like early in the second quarter. Like I said, when he was trying to gather a loose ball that, you know, he deflected after scoring a bucket. So I guess Carl Lane was just in Jordan Clarkson's path, and the ball bounced off Lane's foot toward the baseline. Obviously Carl Lane tried to get out of the way, but you know, like we were saying, Jordan Clarkson just fucking bumped him. Then he pushed him. So he got fined for it. So shout out Jay Clarks. The net tattoos are horrific. They're horrendous. But yeah, at least you don't have any more money or, you know, any more spending money. When you get fined like that, it's still, it doesn't matter how much you got paid. That's still not fun. Got to be smarter than that, my guy. You just let's take away the tat money.
All right. Well, let's do the last one here and kind of, you know, move into our Pacer segment here. Last up on the docket today for worthy or keep it moving is the Paul George. I mean, playing the Lakers on the fast break, sort of kind of just passes it to nobody. Are we worthy here? Or are we keeping it moving?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's just when we're talking about Paul George, it's like, yeah, you know, you got to pass it to the ref. I don't know. You hit it off the side of the backboard. And I think it was a play where what's-his-face was right next to Paul George. He thought he was in the corner. And pretty much the ref was like, no, Paul, that's not me. So who knows? Maybe it's all part of Vegas and it's all fucking rigged. But what are you doing, my guy? You cannot pass it to the corner like that. I will say, Hoop, I've done that. I've done that before. And it is really embarrassing. Obviously, all eyes on you, and you just try to play it off. But we all know you fucking tried to pass it to a ref, man. You got money on the fucking game. We all know you got money on that fucking game. Okay, well,
I was going to say, he took a lot of heat on Twitter and on social media talking about, is this the start of playoff P going back to where he used to be, just not really performing and whatnot. I was like, hey, this is early in the season. Come on, relax.
It's definitely a head scratcher, but, you know, we've all done it. You know, mental poo-poos here and there.
Yeah, but all right. I guess that was a good man-to-man worthy or keep it moving, right?
Yeah, I loved it, man. Man-to-man's always fun for us. By the way, I guess this is a good time to say it. You're tuning in to Man-to-Man on Dash Radio, but listen, if you guys like went out for New Year's Eve, they got these COVID tests. I got the COVID test. I got like 20 of these pops. Let me know if you need one. We all know you were being nasty on New Year's Eve, but yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We'll give the what would you call it? The business address to you guys. Hit us up and Andy will send you the COVID test, right?
Yeah, 25 a pop. I'm going to throw them in the mailbox. Skip the line. You got symptoms? Skip the line. Come to Man to Man's mailbox and throw a quick hundro in there.
All right. Before this gets too much out of hand, let's run our Pacers segment. We went 2-2 this week. We are, I guess, tied for the second in the conference with an overall record of 4-2. I guess our big first test of the year was against the Celtics. We played them twice this week. And in the first matchup, we looked really good. We beat the Celtics 108-107. Kind of had a couple of mental breaks down the stretch, turning the ball over a little bit, and they made it a little closer than it was. And then later on in the week, we played them again, and we ended up losing by 5, 116-111. But after this one, what are your thoughts on the Pacers, I guess, first big test in facing the Celtics, who have, you know, obviously been just one of those dominant teams for the last.
Yeah. Well, years. I mean, the Celtics and us are pretty much, I look at the Celtics and the Pacers as almost the same. If you subtract Kemba Walker, okay. I think Tatum and Victor Oladipo kind of cancel each other out. I think from what he was known as on the court, TJ Warren is done for the year. What's he got? He's got a, some sort of surgery on it in his foot.
Yeah. I don't know the exact name of it, but it started from plantar fasciitis that he was battling. Same thing that, you know, Sabonis missed a couple playoff games for last year. And then it just turned into something more serious I don't even know.
Anyways, I will say that, I mean, we're a big third quarter team. And we pretty much kept up with the Celtics through the first half. And then third quarter, we just absolutely smacked them. We outscored them 37-25. And then the fourth quarter, it's hard for us to finish games. Like you were saying, they outscored us 33-17. Yeah. So we kind of flip-flopped on those quarters. But pretty much, I think Brad Stevens was just saying that we just knocked them all over the place. Sabonis, I think, had a triple-double this game. Or he had a double-double. And, you know, he was all, you know, player of the week in the Eastern Conference in the first week. Tatum, you know, those guys are scoring, you know, good. But at the same time, you know, we're just getting to the line more. And, you know, it's just all about bench play and line play for me. But Sabonis is just right where he left off. And Vic looks good. Vic is back to, I don't know, we saw Vic dunk, like do a reverse layup. And it was like, oh, okay, cool. Like he still has somewhat of his bounce to him. So it's just, you know, we look good. We're always, I think we were off to a good start last year too. And you know, just got to keep it up. But, you know, we lose to a team. We can lose to teams like the New York Knicks. And I think something that we were talking about last year was, like we're saying with this whole first half of the season, all these easier games, and I'll give credit to the Knicks. I mean, they're top eight right now. But all these easier so-called must-win games, we have to actually must-win them to cushion ourselves for the second half of the season.
Right. I agree with you so much. And I think I agree with you on most everything you said. This, and I applaud you because I don't really always agree with you, but on this one, you're just so right down the alley.
I mean, yeah, we talked about it last year. It's just really what like the main focal point for all these teams right now. It's tough for the Nuggets to go down 1-5. It's tough for the Warriors to be 2-5 right now because they need pretty much all these games. But yeah, they have an excuse. And it's just these teams that you know, like we will lose. I'll lose to the Celtics because we lost to the, you know, we you know, took them first game, then second game loss. But I'll take one out of the two of those. But on a Knicks team that's just a younger core and, you know, younger ball club, we got to figure out how to get over the edge and knock those games down in late stages of the game.
Right. I mean, for the Pacers, though, we do, you know, this is a lot of thing, like a lot of people don't understand about the Pacers is that no matter what, really, if you don't consider us a good team or not, we're going to be in the conversation every single year based on our record, you know, because we go in night in and night out and battle it out with the best of teams like the Celtics. We split with the Celtics, which, I mean, I guess a lot of people would say, you know, Celtics are favored in both of those games, but we split. And then, like you were saying, if we really want to turn heads and turn the corner and be in the top, you know, three in the East, we got to take care of the Knicks. We lost to the Knicks, like you were mentioning. So I don't know. I think this is a big year for us in terms of just, you know, what really are we made of? Are we going to turn the corner and, you know, make a real push? And hopefully we will. Who knows? But shout out.
I do say we do have a lot of guys out too, though. And it's always every year. We always have somebody out. 2 years ago, Vic. Last year was Sabonis and Jeremy Lamb. And then this year, it's still Jeremy Lamb. And now it's TJ Warren.
Right.
And, you know, I think Goga's got COVID or he's got a concussion or something's going on with Goga. And you know, Lamb is still working on that, his whole leg. And they're just going to come back. But I think the big difference between our team and a lot of other teams is not only that our starting five is a full compact team, but now our second group is starting to look like that too, where everyone's pretty, you know, comfortable with each other. You got TJ coming off the bench, Edmund Sumner. You even got Cassius Stanley, and he's in the third group. But he's, you know, when he gets those minutes, he looks good, popping threes, you know, making himself pretty much known on the court. But besides Cassius, you know, the other guys that are just the both Holiday brothers, and Aaron's getting the start now, and then Goga will come back. It's just guys who kind of have already figured it out with each other, and now it's just, you know, you got to keep taking a step on that ladder.
Right. Well, we'll get some tests up this next coming week. We got the Pelicans, Rockets, and Suns, all pretty much, you know, good teams and solid teams, especially the Pelicans and the Suns. But with that, guys, we are going to get out of here very quickly and wrap it up. Go follow our social media on all social media platforms at Man to Man Podcast. Shout out to our giveaway winner. Go, you know, DMS will, you know, we'll make it popular for you guys and post on our social media. The winner, DM us, get your merch. And I guess with that, man, I'm a namaste. I'm out of here, right?
Yeah, namaste it up, my brother.
Namaste to you guys.
Hey, namaste, Pacer Nation, baby.